Book of Daniel, please, chapter 1. Book of Daniel, chapter 1. What I have to say will hopefully enhance what our brethren have been bringing to our attention. I want to address the concept of continuance. And if what we have heard already is going to be effective, we need to continue. Verse 21 of this chapter, please. The book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 21. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. And Daniel continued. Acts chapter 2, please, for the next reading. Acts chapter 2. Verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Verse 42, they continued steadfastly. 2 Timothy, please, chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. One more, Hebrews, please, chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 23, the contrast to the Lord Jesus. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable, an untransferable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So here is one in verse 24, he continueth ever. Now the Lord will bless what our dear brethren have brought to our attention, and as we continue further. Now I would like to ask question number one. Do you believe that assembly testimony will continue until the Lord comes? Some dear saints believe that that's not right. I think the Bible would point out there will be lampstands shining in the darkness of the night till the very moment he arrives. And the rapture of the church, as we have heard already, is imminent. I want to talk for a few minutes on a man that continued. It says about Daniel, he continued into the fourth kingdom to the days of Cyrus. I want to refer to a movement that continues to this very day. And then I want to think of a mandate that continues. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And then I want to think of a ministry that continues, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ at God's right hand. If assembly life is going to be vibrant and going to be effective for God, it will only be as good as the individual members of a gathered company and as they continue. So I want to start with a man that continued. No time to go over the background. He arrives as a teenager in a foreign land. Everything is strange and different. But we want to stop for a moment and ask ourselves a simple question. Why did he continue until his 90s? Without blemish, a testimony to the Lord Jesus. I would like to suggest point number one, because of his separation in a foreign land. He was among the Chaldeans and the Babylonians. He was in the king's palace and all the rest of it. He was there among them. But he was separate in his burden before his God. Why did he continue? On the negative side, first of all, he refused Babylon's food. He refused Babylon's friends. He refused Babylon's funds. He refused Babylon's fame. He refused Babylon's fortunes, and you can put all kinds of other ones to it. What an outstanding young man was Daniel. Here's the positive side. Why was he enabled to continue? Because of his supplications. Chapter 6, for example, shows that he prayed at least three times every day. Whether it was a day of crisis, whether it was alone, whether it was with others, he supplicated the throne of grace. He was a very busy individual, and as the kingdoms went on, it would seem that he got more responsibility, but yet he had time to supplicate the throne of grace. That's why he was enabled to continue. Here's another one. He was enabled to continue because he searched the scriptures. Read chapter 9 and other parallel portions, and we find out that he read in Jeremiah 29, and as a mature man, he recognized the time has come. The 70 years are up. The people must get back to the place of the name. It is interesting that this is the man that was selected by the God of heaven to introduce to us the prophetic program for the nation of Israel and for the ages of time. Daniel's 70th week of years, as we all know, is the headline and the direction that other prophets took from Daniel. What about us? Let me challenge this audience tonight or this evening, in whatever age group you're in. All things being considered equal, in the way that you are living your Christian life, in the assembly and all the rest of it, where do you see yourself 5 years down the road, if the Lord be not come? I asked a dear brother not too long ago the same question privately. Here's his answer. He says, "Stan, I'll find myself outside the assembly." Sadly, it's happening. Have you got a burden today before the God of heaven to continue and take some lessons from Daniel? Obviously, with the time to hand, we can't develop any of these. I want to talk about a movement that continues. We have already had reference made to it today in Acts chapter 2. Continuing steadfastly in the things, as we'll see in a moment. It is interesting as we read the book of the Acts that this movement was not a flash in the pan. It commenced in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Antioch, Syria, right into Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, Thessalonica, Philippi, Colossae, Ephesus, Corinth, and Rome. We'd have to conclude, dear saints of God, that this movement continued, and it still continues till this present day. And right from the apostolic age to where we're found in the big picture right now, even through the dark ages, there are records to show that somewhere in our world there were companies of the Lord's people gathered to his precious name, and he has never left himself without a witness right until the Lord comes. Here's the pattern. People heard, there were thousands here listening to Peter this occasion. They heard the word. They received it. They were baptized, and they continued with settled determination and purpose in the very place where the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected, crucified, and refused. Let me summarize these verses this way. What enabled this movement to continue? The most important thing was the fellowship. And what formed the fellowship was the teaching that these dear people learned from the apostles, likely in the upper room, and times of oral ministry from the Lord Jesus. And at that point, they continued in what they knew. It formed the fellowship. The breaking of bread expressed the fellowship. And the prayers maintained the fellowship. Now let me underscore and highlight what has already been taught here today. Dear saints of God, whenever we come to the assembly fellowship, we don't receive to the breaking of bread. We receive to the fellowship of a New Testament assembly with all the ups and downs of life, the privileges and the responsibilities. We teach it wherever we go. How come that there are so few in many assemblies today at the prayer meeting or the Bible reading for that matter? We thank God for all that are faithful and do everything they can to be there. And I'm not thinking of sickness or looking after children or shift work. I'm not thinking of that. In any given year, we have appealed to people. Dear brother, dear sister, you're an assembly fellowship. That's included here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what the Lord expects. I'll just give you a simple example. I know this beloved brother, very intelligent. He coaches students for university. And he starts every day at 4 o'clock, 1600 hours military time. And he goes right through to sometimes 2 a.m. in the morning. He does it 7 nights a week. Dear fellow, I had a talk with him just recently. And I said to him, brother, do you really love the Lord Jesus? He says, absolutely. I said, do you appreciate the assembly? He says, I thank God I'm part of it. Well, I said, brother, how come that we never see you on a Sunday night and we never see you during the week? Man, he says, do you not understand that I have a wife and family to look after and a big mortgage on my house and I have to work 7 nights a week? I said, brother, how about giving the Lord Jesus 1 night out of the 7? He dropped his head. And I said, I'll give you my experience. If you put the Lord first, you might not have to work as long. How does it fit here today? I can speak freely, for I don't know conditions in these parts, but I know human nature. From the human standpoint, do you believe that your assembly will continue until the Lord comes and everybody says, absolutely? Well, it'll depend on you and on me as individuals. So much for that. Let me go to the next one. A man that continued. Do you know anybody that has continued over the years? Is it possible? Absolutely. Are you appreciating a movement that continues and will continue until the Lord comes? I can hear somebody in this audience saying, prove it. I'll give you an example. You come to the last few verses of the book of Revelation, chapter 3. The Lord Jesus Christ is promising tremendous things for the overcomer to sit down on the throne of the Lord Jesus as the Lord Jesus has sat down on his throne. The next verse, John is raptured to the courtroom of heaven. I ask my dear friends, is there any space between those two verses? And any intelligent person would have to say, no, there's not. Here's an example that there will be lights burning in the darkness of the night till Jesus comes. The movement will continue. Here's a mandate that will continue. Paul has likely days to go in 2 Timothy 3 before he goes out to lay down his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's very conscious of conditions that are prevailing on younger men who are coming on. And so he writes a personal note to this dear young man, Timothy. He says, Timothy, conditions will deteriorate. Last day conditions can't stop here. It'll get darker and more difficult, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of him thou hast learned them. Let me summarize 2 Timothy like this, and I'll cut it as short as possible. The word of God is very prominent. Wholesome words, life-giving words. Do you know what he told the young man? Timothy, if the mandate will continue and you have a responsibility in it, now you need to read the word of God. That's chapter 1. Timothy, if you're going to continue with the mandate, you'll need to divide it. Chapter 2, rightly dividing the word of truth. And not to be ashamed as a good workman of Jesus Christ. He says in chapter 3, if you're going to be moving in the mandate, you'll need to know the word. All scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable for all the things. Imagine you're Timothy. Paul wanted to see his face. There's no record. He wanted him to come before winter, chapter 4, but there's no record that Timothy ever saw Paul before he went out to Nero's block to lay down his life as a martyr. But he's appealing to him. Let me be very practical before I leave this section. We thank God on the positive side for every brother and every sister, whatever age group you're in, that read the Holy Bible. But I want to tell you this, that in 2014, in the big picture across the wide acres of earth in assembly life, dear people are not reading the Bible as they used to. We're busy from early morning to late at night, fair enough. But we need to take time to be holy. The world rushes on. How do you think that assembly life is going to continue? How do you think you're going to learn the truth of God? There's no shortcuts. You've got to pay the price. I often remind people, the ungodly don't read the Bible, but they can read us. We used to be known as assemblies that were Bible readers and practicers of the word. Sadly, we have left some of that. I would love to develop that further. I'd like to ask this audience, dear people, younger married couples, young believer, brother or sister, did you read the Bible today? People say to me, Stan, don't be so ridiculous, man. I haven't time from early morning to late at night. Well, I want to tell you that if we're going to be useful in divine things, you'll need to read the Holy Book. Here's another one. Let me finish on this note. I want you to think of a ministry that will continue. You all know Hebrew letter says, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Let me point out here just in a very simple way in this part of the chapter. Brother Frank was talking about contrast. Here's one here, right here where we read. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. The priests and the high priests of the Old Testament, they weren't permitted to continue. Do you know why? They were interrupted by death. The first high priest of Israel, Aaron, I read it here in the company recently, and they're on Mount Hor. And there comes a moment when Moses takes the garments of glory and beauty from Aaron and dons them on his son Eleazar. And he's gathered to his fathers. He couldn't continue because he's interrupted by death. But this, the Lord Jesus Christ, has an untransferable priesthood, as Mr. Newbery points out. And he's there to continue to save to the uttermost, to preserve to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. There's at least three great offices he bears today on the other side of death. Resurrection is past. Ascension is behind him. He's now in his unfinished work at God's right hand as the great high priest of his people, as the intercessor, and as the advocate. Great are the offices he bears, and brightest character appears, exalted on the throne. Let me talk to the young believer here today. Dear friend, maybe you don't stop and think about this. Our older friends know all about it. We can't continue without the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ at God's right hand. See, we take it for granted. I've been through all that. And in the early part of Christian experience, we just think it's automatic. But just keep on living and think of the things that have happened to a believer. You can't continue. None of us could continue apart from him. Can I suggest to you that he's there as the great high priest to make us? What does that mean? We're in the school of God. The things that are happening to us as believers, we can't explain it. We'll never analyze it. But we want to tell you this, that that's what makes the believer to go through the school of God. And he upholds us as we move through. You see, as the intercessor, he maintains us right through the Christian pathway. I'll tell you another one. See, as the advocate, he mends us. This has nothing to do with conversion, but it has all to do with our communion with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that brittle thread can be broken, and maybe we're not enjoying things the way we should. But we thank God tonight or this evening. 1 John chapter 1 deals with it, and chapter 2. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, based on propitiation. And when we sin instantly, he's there to maintain our cause and to mend us. God help us. I would like to ask you my question again. Where do you see yourself? All things being considered equal, 5 years down the road if the Lord doesn't come. Think of my friend when he told me what I like about him, he was honest. He says, Stan, if I continue in the path that I'm on now, 5 years down the road, I'll be outside the assembly and far away from God. That never was God's mind. Think of a man that continued. What's a lovely study. Think of a movement that continued. And it's still continuing. Think of a mandate that's continuing. And think of a ministry that continues. And there is a sense in the Melchizedek order of things where it'll go on forever. Lord, stir our hearts 4 o'clock. Time to stop. Thank you very much.